The members please vote to signify their presence.
Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 19 senators present this morning. Senator Eliason is excused from the call of the Senate today.
You may stand for the invocation.
Let us pray. Thou, O Lord, art the source of all life. Let thy gracious promise be fulfilled. I will pour water upon the thirsty land and streams and upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and thy blessing upon thine offspring. Let rain descend upon your land and our land, for the blessing of all and the hurt of none, for the joy of all and the woe of none, for the life of all and for the death of none. Amen.
I ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 106th legislative day.
I move the journal for the 106th legislative day be approved as certified.
Mr. President, in the gallery on my side, I have two old friends from Metlakatla. Not only are they old friends, they are my brothers. As of about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I had the honor of being adopted into the Raven clan of Asimpsian Indians. These gentlemen are councilmen from Metlakatla, Jackie Booth and Saul Atkinson.
Mr. President, we have a bunch of students here from Mr. Tedford's civics class from Floyd Dryden Junior High School in Juneau. When I call your name, would you please stand up? Karen Baker, Paul Caldwell, Bill Forrest, Greg Jones, John Newell, Rob Kreisenbach, Marlo Ritson, Mandy Patton, Al Tagadan, Wayne Windred, Deanna Johnson, Chris Riley, Trish Tepelo, James File, Jenny DeArmond, Don Bush, and Clarice Apollo. Welcome to the Senate.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in recess for purposes of leadership caucus for the call of the chair.
Recess for the call of the chair. I think all members are present. Will the Senate please come back to order? Virtually all are. What did you say? Senate, please come to order. Secretary of the Senate, are there messages from the governor?
Messages of May 3. Dear Mr. President, I have signed the following bills and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House CS for Senate Bill No. 240, Finance, an act making a supplemental appropriation for the operation of the legislature and providing for an effective date. Chapter 12, Session Laws, 1983. House CS, 4CS, for Senate Bill No. 138, Resources, an act continuing the Guide Licensing and Control Board and authorizing the board to license marine mammal guides and providing for an effective date. Chapter 13, Session Laws, 1983. Sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. Message of April 29. Pursuant to applicable law, I submit the following names for legislative confirmation of appointment to the positions noted. State Medical Board, Dr. Thomas Conley of Ketchikan.
Yes. For advice.
Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy, J. Shelby Statsny of Anchorage.
Commerce. For advice to the Senate.
Commission on Judicial Conduct, Marcus Clapp of Fairbanks, Bruce Bookman of Anchorage, and Michael Holmes of Juneau.
Judiciary.
Those are the messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
Takes us some messages from the House. Messages from the House.
Message of May 2. Dear Mr. President, the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendment to CS for House Bill Number 336 Finn, namely Senate CS or CS for House Bill Number 336 Finn, special appropriations to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and respectfully request the Senate to recede from its amendments. In the event the Senate fails to recede, the Speaker appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to consider the bills. Representatives Ewling, Chairman, Bettesworth, and Malone.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate recede from its amendments to committee substitute for House Bill Number 336 Finance.
Senator Joson.
Mr. President, I would like to speak in support of the motion to recede. I don't do so with a light or glad heart because I believe that the Senate bill was a reasonable bill. I think it reflected a spirit of compromise. I think it reflected a desire to impose at least some measure of accountability to the agency for a one-time and one-time-only look at a small portion of its portfolio, and a look which would not have endangered and which would not endanger any mortgages or mortgage programs which involve the bond program or bond or existing bond covenants. Moreover, Mr. President, the Senate bill, which the Senate adopted, was specifically cleared with representatives of the agency, the Department of Law, and the Department of Revenue, who told us that the final version of the Senate, as it was brought down from the Senate Finance Committee after many rewrites, was acceptable to them. And I regret very much that the other body, in its wisdom, did not simply concur in the Senate version, because I think the agency and the public would have been better served, because we would not have created the kind of public alarms in the community which I think are, in the long range, destructive or harmful to the agency and, incidentally, to the bond markets. But the House made its judgment, and one must respect its right to make that judgment. This is one of those situations, Mr. President, where people in the practical world of politics, and I say this advisedly, have to rise above principle to get a practical result done that meets the needs of the people. We could go to conference, and I think that conference could be of short duration, but in the meantime, the press would so agitate this issue that there would be a lot of alarms in the business world, a lot of anxieties and sleepless nights that would be all for naught. And many of us feel that there will be other vehicles, and we will look for other vehicles to impose the measure of accountability that ought to be imposed. It was prophesied, Mr. President, in this body on Saturday that the House would not concur. I regard that as what semanticists call a self-fulfilling prophecy. And if that is correct, I deplore the fact that someone might have solicited that action and so fulfilled his own prophecy, but I don't know that. That would only be speculation. Just in the realm of practicality, in order to get the business of the public done and reserving our right to impose accountability with another vehicle, I support the floor leader's motion that the Senate recede. I would finally say, Mr. President, that some people have tried to characterize this issue as a division between urban and rural senators or urban and rural legislators. It is not that. As far as I'm concerned, it's simply a division between those who want to support the Constitution of Alaska and impose accountability on all state agencies and those who are willing not to do that. We have lost one small round, but in retrospect, we are going to have the housing program continue, and that, of course, is a great victory for Alaskans. Thank you.
Senator Ferguson.
We're only talking about $25 million out of a $1 million budget. I think the accountability by the legislature needs to be addressed in this vehicle. This vehicle only comes around once in a lifetime. And we have a chance to at least address the accountability of the legislative responsibility that's prescribed in the Constitution. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I appreciate the remarks of my two distinguished colleagues, and I know that Senator Josephson made his remarks because of his concern for his constituency and the people of the state of Alaska, and I can as well understand Senator Ferguson's concern, and certainly we talk about those. And, I would like to make any efforts or contributions that I might be able to produce on the subject available to the Finance Committee and others, because I know there is a concern about the accountability, not only of this program, but of others, and applaud the action of the majority conversation.
Senator Sacken.
No, thank you.
Question is, shall the Senate recede from its amendments to House Bill 336? Senate may vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, one excused.
So the Senate has receded from its amendments.
That was the only message from the House.
Are there communications?
There are no communications today.
Are the reports of standing committees?
The Resources Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 19 relating to a statewide system of trails and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute. Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, and Senators Mulcahy and Ziegler signed no recommendation. Signing do pass for Senators Sturgalewski and Vic Fisher. SCR 19 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 3, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to agricultural rights in state lands. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senator Josephson signed do pass. Senators Ziegler and Pettyjohn signed no recommendation. SJR 3 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 127, Unlawful Conduct of Minors, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute judiciary with a new title, a zero fiscal note. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senator Pettyjohn signed do pass. Senators Ziegler and Josephson signed no recommendation. SB 127 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 163, Use of Child Safety Devices in Motor Vehicles, and recommends it be replaced and recommends that the Transportation Committee substitute be adopted. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senators Ziegler and Pettyjohn signed no recommendation. Senator Josephson signed do pass. SB 163 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 19 requesting a presidential pardon for Dr. Jen Goodman and recommends that the Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted and also recommends calendaring. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Ray, and Bennett. Senator Kelly signed no recommendation. This appears on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 25 requesting that Birch Creek and Beaver Creek be moved from designation as wild rivers and recommends calendaring on May 3rd. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Ray, Kelly, and Bennett. This also appears on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 151, Regional Resources Development Authorities, recommends it be calendared on May 3rd and the Finance Committee substitute be adopted. Senator Fakes, Chairman, signed calendar but no recommendation. Signing to calendar were Senators Bennett, Ferguson, and Ray. Senator Kelly signed do not pass. Senator Ray signed calendar, no recommendation. This also appears on today's calendar. A message from Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, Senate State Affairs Committee. Dear Mr. President, the members of the State Affairs Committee have considered the following executive appointments and no objections have been stated to their confirmation. To the Athletic Commission, Joe Armstrong, Alaska Public Offices Commission, Frank Austin, State Commission for Human Rights, Bienvenido Hoganza, and Virgie M. King. This does not indicate an intention on the part of any committee member to vote for or against confirmation of any individual. Sincerely, Senator Victor Fisher. Those are the standing committee reports.
Do we report to special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Takes us to the daily calendar. Secretary reads Senate Bill 151. By title and author.
To Senate Bill number 151 by Senators Bernkamp, Curtula, Ferguson, and Paul Fisher. An act relating to regional resource development authorities and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the Committee Substitute Resources. Senator Fahrenkamp, chairman, signed do pass with amendments. Senators Eliason and Ziegler signed do pass. Senator Paul Fisher and Senator Mulcahy signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends the Committee Substitute Finance. Signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Sackett, Ferguson, Mulcahy, and Josephson. Senators Vic Fisher and Fake signed no recommendation. There are two committee substitutes.
You have the floor, Resources Chairperson.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee report be adopted.
No objection. Finance substitute and adopt. Secretary, read the bill.
Mr. President.
Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 151, financed by the Finance Committee. An act relating to regional resource development authorities and providing for an effective date.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Resources Committee let every intent be adopted.
Objection as noted. Obedience. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my motion.
Secretary has read the bill. Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 151, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed in final passage.
Objection so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 151, Finance, an act relating to regional resource development authorities and providing for an effective date.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I move that the Resource Committee letter of intent be adopted. Ask unanimous consent.
Objection. So ordered. Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Senator Fahrenkamp has the floor.
Mr. President, this bill has been worked on, heard, and discussed here many times. I'm sure all of you are familiar with it. I would like to, however, stress some of the changes that have been made to address the concerns of many of the people here. One of those is that we are requiring now for the establishment of this type of an authority, a finding by the governor prior to holding an election that's in the best interest of the state for this development corporation to be formed or authority to be formed. That finding has to be made before an election can be held. We also have a finding by the revenue and the bond authority before any bonds can be issued. We have a date of 1986 that is a termination date from which this bill will be sunset. We also have assurances from the Attorney General, from revenue, from legal, everybody else that we could find, that the bonds will be backed up by the resources of that area, not by the finances of the state. I would urge passage of the bill.
You have the floor, Senator.
So I'd like to compliment Senator Fahrenkamp on the work that she did on this bill. She was extremely responsive to concerns, and in addition, had put in information requiring the legislative auditor either to audit or to require a financial statement. The letter of intent, I think, is really important, and I think there was excellent work done by just in the basic drafting of the bill. I think it's very clear-cut and readable, and you know what you're dealing with. I'm not going to support the bill, however. I'm disappointed that the administration did not come forward, or has not to this point, with work that they were doing that would allow for expansion of an authority under the Alaska Industrial Development Authority. I think that it's a real major issue for us to consider going on with the proliferation of limited purpose entities in rural Alaska. We have some out there now, of course, with the coastal zone districts and the rural education attendance areas. We've had proposals before us in the last few years for planning and zoning districts, for health councils. Those did not pass, but I think what we're doing is breaking that whole area up into small bits and pieces, even though what they're attempting to do here to get a mechanism for revenue bonding is certainly desirable in order to see a major project and assist it in going forward. I think that there's growing concern over the debt of public agencies and of the political subdivisions of the state and what that relationship is with the state, even though it may say that legally we are not responsible. I think as a matter of economics, we are. We've seen that in WHOOPs in Washington State. We've seen it with the relationship between New York City and the state of New York. You just, if there's a problem, you just don't let things go. You have to address that, and I'm concerned over that. I would like to apologize for the lateness of an attorney general's opinion. Back on March 23rd, when this bill was still before committee, I requested an opinion. It was delivered just half an hour before session today, and I've made that available to you. In many ways, I think it raises again policy issues. One that bothers me, where they talk about the, as the author says, the curious endowment of each authority with attributes of both the political subdivision and the state agency, and that comes both in the setting up of the ruling body and also the state's role in reviewing of the bonds. I just simply think that the potential of another 21 agencies out there is a specter that should raise some concern. I think there are other ways to achieve the end result that's desired, and that is the ability to utilize revenue bonds and have local involvement in the process that would have far less potential problems than the structure we're talking about here.
State Affairs Chairman.
Mr. President, I've been interested in this legislation from before it was introduced. The impetus behind it comes from, I think, one of the most exciting, potentially most constructive resource development projects in the state of Alaska. As such, I have felt it deserves every bit of support. I've worked with those who've been interested in establishing a means of financing the infrastructure, the transportation facilities necessary to bring the Red Dog mining prospect online. I think it's a very worthwhile project, and I believe it does deserve support. As Senator Sturgalewski said, Senator Fehrenkamp has done a marvelous job in seeing to it that we have a good bill before us today, as good a bill as we possibly can, given the concept and the structure. As Senator Fehrenkamp explained, there are all sorts of safeguards built in, at least insofar as those safeguards can be put into law. I had been concerned from the beginning that the state's bond rating might be affected, and I believe some good protections have been put into the legislation. I'm still, Mr. President, very concerned, however, by the basic structure of this authority. As some of you know, I've worked in this area for about 30 years in the area of establishing local government, regional government in Alaska, dealing with developmental institutions in the state. The one thing that is clear is that we're dealing with something that is not a state agency, it's not a local government, it's not a local government agency, it's a creature that seems to be out in space. Mr. President, I am going to vote for the bill because I think that it will provide a vehicle for doing something important. At the same time, I intend to work very hard, and I hope we'll have the cooperation of members of the Senate in seeing to it that in the future we have more appropriate vehicles to deal with regional development issues, with economic development issues, with local self-determination in such areas as are affected by this particular legislation. And again, I think that this is an important bill. It deserves support principally because the end is very worthwhile. And I think that within a year or two, we can deal with the means and repeal enabling legislation that is a general law simply because a special act would not be legal under these circumstances.
You have the floor, Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I doubt very much if there's five of this body that in campaigning come down here did not in one way or another encourage the diversification of our economy, did not encourage the development of our resources in a responsible manner. And I, for one, would like very much to see some of this occur in a responsible manner. In my lifetime, we've been talking about things like this for now 26 years that I've been here. I think this is our chance to get things going. I would urge your support.
You have the floor, Senator. Senator Gilmer.
Brief at ease, please.
Yes, sir. We're at ease.
Constituted in this
this particular bill, and I believe it says it's page 4, line 27. It calls for 5 members to be elected and 3 to be appointed by the governor. And then, Mr. President, it also links that board to the State Bond Committee when there is a proposal made for bonding. And I have some problem with, for instance, if the governor were to appoint the Commissioner of Administration and the Commissioner of Commerce and the Commissioner of Revenue to the board, they also make up the bond committee. And it would be a case where a proposal would be coming from a board to another committee, and that committee would be reviewing its own work. And I would feel a lot more comfortable if we did not have that provision in there. Mr. President, I did not have an amendment prepared. I'm having it prepared. I'm going to support the bill, but I am going to put it under reconsideration for the purpose of that amendment.
Is there further debate? Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question on page 12, section 3013-100, Pledge of the State. It deals with the pledge of the state necessary to ensure the interest of the bondholders. But in another section, it states that bonds can go up to 40 years, and it says basically the state can't limit or alter the rights and powers vested in those authorities. It seems like we're making a 40-year statement on policies such as taxation and a number of other things. It may be an awfully long-range decision. I wonder if someone could explain that in terms of is there any other way that we can limit that without making quite as broad a statement? And I'm sure that the resources chairman did try to go through that.
Resources chairperson.
Mr. President, we looked at that thoroughly. We think there's no problem with it. We have as many safeguards as possibly can be built into a bill, in my estimation. And those who are worried about that period of time are worried about ADA. If we were to put this under ADA, we'd have to do a complete rewrite of ADA. We'd also take out, in doing so, the ability of those people in their own areas to have the election and make their own determinations. And I like the bill as it is and think it's covered.
Further debate? Question is called for. You have the floor, Senator Ferguson.
I ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to abstain from voting on this bill. I'm a corporate officer of Nana Regional Corporation, which this bill may certainly benefit.
There is objection. Unanimous consent was asked. The rules cannot just abstain. Is there further debate?
Question.
The question is, shall Senate Bill 151 amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 4 nays, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 151 has passed the Senate. Senator Raymond.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and the passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 151 to finance be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Objection so ordered. Effective date has been adopted. Senate Joint Resolution 19. Secretary, Senate Joint Resolution 19.
Senate Joint Resolution number 19 by Senator Moss requesting a presidential pardon for Dr. Jim Goodman and restoration of his civil rights through executive clemency granted by the governor. The Judiciary Committee considered this resolution and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Pettyjohn, and Eliason. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation.
You have the floor, Senator.
The Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Objection. Judiciary Committee substitute's been adopted. I presume there's a title change.
There is a title change, Mr. President.
Are there... Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution 19, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, recommending to the Alaska Board of Dental Examiners that they not revoke or suspend Dr. Jim Goodman's license to practice dentistry. There are no amendments.
In the absence of amendments, Senator Ray?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 19, Judiciary, with the title change, be considered engrossed, advance third reading, place the final passage.
Objection. Advance the third reading. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 19, Judiciary, recommending to the Alaska Board of Dental Examiners that they not revoke or suspend Dr. Jim Goodman's license to practice dentistry.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate, and you have the floor, Senator Moss.
Mr. President, the reason this bill is in, it has a lot to do with full-page ads, people working under double jeopardy. Now we are faced with a possible triple jeopardy. Dr. Goodman is the only dentist that's in the Delta area, for example. It takes us many years to get a dentist. Fact of the matter, Mr. President, I might point out that it's easier to get a new president than it is to get a dentist in Delta. I would ask that this bill or this resolution be passed. Only thing we're asking is, hey, don't take the man's license away from him when they have a hearing in our own state boards. We've got hundreds of people who have asked for this. I hope that this legislature will also ask our own boards to not take his license away from him. I think the man has paid twice already. Why should we force him to pay three times? And I'd ask that you pass this bill. Thank you.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I have a question in my mind as to the propriety of the legislature recommending or requesting the Board of Dental Examiners, which is more or less, we hope, would be an independent board. However, to reconcile that in my mind, it was my intention to vote for this with the thought that the only thing that possibly could be held against Dr. Goodman is the fact that he is convicted of a felony, a federal felony, which is a crime of moral turpitude, I suppose. And he has made restitution, and there has been an agreement with the federal government. And because of the necessity and need and the almost unanimous support of Dr. Goodman from the community, I feel that we aren't directing the dental board to do these things. We are asking them to reconsider or to consider the crime, if it is concerned with moral turpitude, to be of a minor nature in this respect.
The floor, Senator Fisher.
Mr. President, I have same feelings on this as Senator Ray does. When I read this resolution, my first response was that it just isn't right to tell a supposedly independent professional regulatory board what should be done. At the same time, I fully understand Senator Moss's desire to represent the people of that area and give them the basic services they need. I would hope that we could send a clear message to the dental board, however, in addition to just a piece of paper resolution, to explain to them that we really respect their right to exercise independent judgment and period.
Senator Gilman.
Do we have a brief at ease, please, Mr. President?
Yes, we'll be. The further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 19 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary close the roll.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 4 nays, 1 excuse.
Senate Joint Resolution 19 is passed the Senate. Next item on the daily calendar, Senate Joint Resolution 25. Secretary Reed. Senator Ray.
We can hold that for just a second, Mr. President.
We will hold it.
On the rescinding motion today, on the Senate's rescinding motion from House Bill 336,
yes,
there was an effective date clause on 336, and I wonder if that, if it's necessary for us to vote on that. If we just rescind, I don't know whether...
It's not necessary for us to vote on it.
I just thought I'd bring it to the attention of the body.
Thank you. I wondered about it and thought it through at the time. My opinion is not. Senate Joint Resolution 25, Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution number 25 by the Resources Committee, requesting that Birch Creek and Beaver Creek be removed from designation as wild rivers. The Resources Committee considered this resolution and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Eliason, Mulcahy, Ziegler, and Sturgiluski. There are no amendments.
Absence of amendments. Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 25 be considered engrossed and passed third reading, place in final passage.
Without objection, Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution number 25, requesting that Birch Creek and Beaver Creek be removed from designation as wild rivers.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate. Senator Fahrenkamp has.
Mr. President, in 1980, when ANILCA was passed, there many of our rivers were put in the wild and scenic river system. Birch Creek and Beaver Creek have been the two major problem areas within the state with conflicting interests as far as the water quality, as far as turbidity, as far as navigability, and the increase in the activity since the cost of gold, or the price of gold went up, has been manyfold from when it was at the time that the legislation was passed in Congress. Those creeks have been mined for nearly half a century. And in an attempt to try to cut down some of the access problems and some of the conflicts that we have on those two rivers, we are asking Congress to consider removing those from those wild river designations. Urge your support.
Senator, you have the floor.
President, I have a similar request to make of Squirrel River in the Cayenne area, but until the time that we go through the regulation process with the federal government, I believe that it'll eventually come down to a similar request for Squirrel River. I believe this bill is needed, this resolution is needed, and I'd hope for the same consideration at the time that I propose a similar request for Squirrel River. Thank you.
Senator Fahrenkamp?
Mr. President, many of you will remember the commission that we established about 2 years ago to look at and study the use and management of Alaska lands, Alaskan areas. In responding to the plans that are set up for Beaver Creek and for Birch Creek, and I'm sure the problems on Squirrel River will parallel them, we find that in proposals of the plans for those rivers, not only do they not take into consideration the history of what's happened on those streams or the transportation of goods on those streams, and it looks like the state of Alaska may be in a lawsuit with the federal government concerning these two creeks, we just find more and more problems, one of them being the scenic view shed that they want to set on these rivers, and a view shed that extends to such a great distance that access that was guaranteed under ANILCA is almost impossible. How successful we'll be in Congress, I do not know, but I think it's time for us to stand up and yell and let them know how they're affecting our economy and how they're affecting our lifestyle here in Alaska.
Question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 25 pass the Senate? You may proceed. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, one excused, and one absent.
Senate Joint Resolution 25 has passed the Senate. Takes us to unfinished business.
Citation.
Oh, apologies. Senator Helfer.
We had an ease, please.
We'll be at ease in a moment. Senator Helfer and I have had a slight colloquy here, going back and forth on the subject that was brought up by Senator Ray at the time I thought about it. Would be my opinion, then was exactly the House bill, including the effective date, which was adopted. If I'm in error on that, I don't mind being brought to my attention, because, of course, we want the bill to pass and have an effective date. We'll be at ease if you wish, or you may.
My concern is that the Senate never passed with an effective date the House version of the bill. The bill on which the effective date was moved was a Senate version with an amendment. But the bill, in the form that it's going back to the House and to the governor, never had an effective date separately moved in this body. Now, that's a rules requirement, not a constitutional requirement. The Constitution only speaks to bills with a different effective date have to be passed by more than two-thirds. But if we're going to assume that a separate motion is required, then I think it is required in this case.
Senator Ray?
Well, if you follow that line of reasoning, we never did vote on the House bill. That doesn't follow at all.
I could get reconsideration, take it up tomorrow's calendar. So we could solve the problem.
I could resolve the problem,
Mr. President. I would.
Senator Ray.
I would. House committee substitute, or committee substitute for House Bill 336, and has to be taken up at this time.
Brought before us.
CS for House Bill number 336, Finance, an act making special appropriations to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before us for discussion debate.
Question?
Question is, shall House Bill 336 pass the Senate? Proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change the vote? Secretary, close roll.
Roll shows 18 yeas, one excused, one absent.
So the bill has passed the Senate, Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and the passage of Committee Substitute for House Bill 336 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Frankly, I'm certain that I'm correct in my analysis of it, but I will look into it further.
Citations.
Let me please proceed, Secretary.
Citation, honoring Ketchikan's future problem-solving team by Senator Ziegler and Representatives McBride and Wendy.
Senator Ray.
The citation calendar be approved as read.
Citation calendar has been adopted. Takes us to further unfinished business. At this time, I will assign House Bill 109 to the Finance Committee. It has $1 million fiscal note. Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I give notice of my reconsideration of Senate Bill 151.
Notice reconsideration for noted. Are there announcements of committee meetings? State Affairs, Chairman.
President, there will be no State Affairs Committee meeting today.
Finance Chairman.
This afternoon at 1:30, and we will be tomorrow morning at 8:30, taking up Senate Bill 40, an act making special appropriation transfer to carry out settlement agreement between the State of Alaska and University of Alaska. Also the companion bill, Senate Bill 41, an act relating to the transfer ownership and management of University of Alaska trust land. Also taking up Senate Bill 230, permanent dividend distribution program. Senate Bill 124, Administration of Ag Loan Act. Also tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, we'll be taking out and closing out the budget.
Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, there will be a leadership caucus tomorrow, Wednesday, on adjournment of the Senate.
Your Resources Chairperson, you're seeking the floor.
Mr. President, tomorrow at 3 p.m. in the Belts Room, we'll be hearing Senate Bill 268, Senate Bill 269, and Senate Bill 285. These are the royalty oil contracts.
Senator Mulcahy.
Labor and Commerce will be meeting this afternoon at 1:30 in the Belts Room. The bills have been posted. They're Senate Bills 263, Senate Bill 281, and Committee Substitute for House Bill 181, Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will be canceled today.
Senator Ray, Judiciary.
The committee, again, will meet tomorrow, and to remind those people who are interested, if there are any, who are taking up legislative reform as one of the bills.
Rules Chairperson, are you seeking the floor earlier? You have the floor, Senator Ferguson.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 255 and Senate Bill 260 be waived from the Community and Regional Affairs Committee.
Objection. So the next committee reference. Are there items under special orders this morning? Resources. Ruth, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent to speak on Pastor Glover's, an update on the Pastor Glover situation and funeral.
You have the floor, Senator. There's no objection.
Okay. We just got word through Speaker Hayes' office that this Saturday, either at 2 or 3 o'clock at the Anchorage Baptist Temple, the Pastor Glover's funeral will be held. His body is currently at the Evergreen Memorial Chapel, and Mrs. Glover is currently in Providence Hospital.
Senator Rain.
No other business to come before the Senate. I move we adjourn at 10 a.m. Wednesday, May 4th.
You're adjourned.